You've dedicated your life to helping others, but what about living the life you want for yourself? This is the A Life Well Lived, A Physician's Guide to Wealth podcast. I'm James Nutter from I Am Wealth, and I will be your host and guide throughout this epic journey together. I'm here to help you take control of your money so you can live a purposeful life without wasting any of your precious time. All right, y'all. Wow. This episode absolutely hits deep. You are going to love it. Today's guest is a living, breathing case study of what happens when you combine intention, service, proactivity, and discipline early and often. As a fun aside, her and I go way back to our elementary school days when I was a chubby little kid back then. Dr. Rachel Carlson is a pediatric physician based in Hawaii. We did record this at about 5:15 a.m. her time. A triathlete, an active duty Air Force officer, and one of I Am Wealth's most committed community impact makers. She began working with us in her very first year of residency before she eventually became the chief resident for her program and made intentional financial planning a non-negotiable alongside her medical training, military service, and athletic and health pursuits, not to mention being a great family member and all of those wonderful things. Today is another segment of the Your Health is Your Wealth series. And Rachel and I discuss being intentional, how she trained and completed the triathlon in residency, choices and behaviors, a wellness program she created in residency, how to take control of your money early, and how to surround yourself with a capable team and delegate, and lessons that she learned and still carry to this day from her father, who was a physician and passed away when she was 5 years old. So if you're a physician who is intentional and wants to optimize your life, this is for you. Or if you're feeling maybe a little bit unmotivated, stuck, which we all have, myself included, I felt a little this way before we recorded this morning, right? Some days you just don't have it and needing some tools to get started. This absolutely is for you. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Rachel Carlson. Rachel, welcome to the Physician's Guide to Wealth podcast. It's going to be a ton of fun. Rachel and I go way back to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, whatever we want to call it. And I just want to get like right to it. So you trained for triathlons while you were in residency. I feel like most can't even find time to grocery shop. And I have a lot of respect for everything that y'all go through and, med school and training and everything. And I know it's an absolute grind. Like, how did you do it? How did you find the time? How did you prioritize that area of your life, your health and your wellness?
I think that prioritizing was the key. Is just something that I knew I wanted to do, something I knew helped me get through residency, like the hard days in residency. Something that helped my mental health a lot was exercising and cardio. I was not very good at strength training, I'll tell you that much, because my brain couldn't think about anything except like getting out and running, getting on a bike or getting in the pool. And it was something I knew that I needed for my mental health. And so signing up for something that then kind of forced me to train and be on top of the training, knowing that if I didn't train, I wasn't going to be able to complete it, was a big motivation. But I think just like reorganizing my priorities at that time, knowing that you have to, like, balance doesn't exist in probably anyone's life, but definitely not when you're in residency. So that was just something that for me, I just had to say, like, this is something I know I need. And even though I don't have a lot of time, I have enough time to be able to make this work, which usually meant sacrificing something else. Sleep, a night out with friends, things like that. So, but worth it. It was fun. It was a blast.
I think it all comes down to, priority management and choices. And I'm just out of curiosity, like, what did your typical day or week look like? Like, I know training for even like a marathon, let alone a, triathlon, like that's a lot of time every single day. So would you like finish a 12-hour shift and then run for 3 hours? Or like, what did that look like?
So I was a little less busy because it was at the end of a residency. So like intern year, I honestly don't know if I could have done it. Intern year, it was like, okay, I just survived a 12-hour shift or a 16-hour shift, and I'm going to go run. And that I just would go run for, it would not be long. It would be less than an hour run. It would be slow. And it was just like turning off my brain and and like going and doing it. But when I started to have a little bit more of a hang of residency and time, it was more of just like getting up early, waking up early, doing, you would do 2 days sometimes. And eventually it just got kind of fun. And I had friends that would do some of it with me through the winters. I'm not in a winter zone anymore, but when I was living in Ohio, like winter was, it can get tough. You know, it's gray, it's dark, like you can't get outside as much, it's cold. So getting on a stationary bike and just like moving my legs before and after work was something that honestly got me through some of the dreary winters and like some of the longer days, helps you just turn off your brain. So yeah, it was a lot of just before and after work, waking up early, going to bed probably a little too late. But
did you have to sacrifice your sleep? What do you say? A little bit? Yeah. Which I know in training, you naturally do sleep less,
yes,
I'm sure.
I did. I definitely sacrificed sleep. I was getting up. I was waking up pretty early. I'm a morning person. And so that was just where it tended to fit in best. I was definitely sacrificed sleep for it at the time. I think you have to. I think everybody who trains for something like that to some degree, unless you're a professional, you're sacrificing sleep at some point.
How did training for that, like during like a very busy time in your life, I know your final year of training like looked different than your intern year. Like, how do some of those like habits, I guess, carry over into how you show up now today, you know, into like attending hood and daily life that's a little bit like less busy? Like, were there lots of lessons that you learned?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think sleep, now that I do have some time, it's like, okay, sleep does matter and it is important. Like, I mean, there's a time in your life when you just, I mean, for example, having kids, I'm a pediatrician. I mean, these parents come in exhausted every day. Like, you're going to have to sacrifice sleep at some point here and there, and that's okay. But reprioritizing sleep when you can, like when you do have the time, and still being able to make your fitness journey a priority and being able to do all the other things you want to do in life is definitely important. So I think the like lesson learned now that I have a little bit more time, that I'm still able to get extra sleep in and prioritize my fitness with being able to sacrifice kind of other things in my life, not necessarily sleep like I had to in residency.
Did you do anything like to learn how to sleep better, just out of curiosity? Like, I feel like, you know, you're the type when you want to do something, you learn all the things you can to go like learn and figure it out. So just curious, because I literally spent like a quarter of my life reading like books and listening to podcasts about how to sleep better. It worked. Like, so I'm curious if you did anything for anybody out there, you know, who might be having a little trouble with sleep, because there's no doubt it's the most important thing that we do.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, just like my training in residency and as a pediatrician, like I get questions about sleep all of the time from parents. And like for a kid, it's the exact same as an adult. Like, sleep hygiene is definitely the most important thing you can do for yourself. And I mean, having a daily exercise routine is actually a big piece of it too. Like, you don't want to exercise right before bed. Is kind of the only rule is like, don't exercise right before you go to bed. But getting exercise in absolutely contributes to getting better sleep. And then just having like a routine, having as much routine as you can. Like, we're humans, we need routine. And having, okay, I brush my teeth and then I put on my pajamas and then I get into bed and my phone is on the other side of the room and I'm going to read my book for 2 minutes until I fall asleep. Like, having some of those routines in to train your brain to tell it, okay, we're getting ready to go to bed, and then it knows and you fall asleep a lot easier. I think just like the environment that you're sleeping into, like creating a space that's screen free. I mean, it sounds obvious, but like it's hard to do. It's easier said than done. And putting your phone away, I think, is probably the hardest thing for most of us, especially because our alarm is on our phone. But I think that's been the biggest thing for me was my phone and like putting that away, and then having a just like routine, and also cutting out any sort of extra screen time, like watching Netflix especially in my weekdays. Like, that automatically made me go to bed later for no reason. You're so much more productive when you just cut that out entirely.
I literally set an alarm on my phone this week every weeknight, school night, that says like, disconnect
and unplug and wind down. And it went off the other day. Of course, you know, the day after I said it, my younger brother, Johnny's like, oh my gosh, dude, you're crazy.
Mary, all right, and James, the same thing.
James isn't having fun anymore. Way to be a psycho.
Welcome to 30.
Yeah, exactly. 31, almost yeah. 32. But yeah. I was listening to a podcast that I listened to that Steph showed me. It's called The Skinny Confidential, him and her show. It's really good. And they have a variety of different guests on. But they had Dr. Karshan Shaw on, who I had never heard of before until listening to that episode. I think it was last week. But he's a physician. He's performed like over 20,000 different, like, you know, not different surgeries, but like cases. But he was, you know, I think he grew up in that environment, especially like in the 80s and 90s, where it was like a lot of burnout. And I think he, you know, he was like number crunching based on some of his labs that he got. He had just had a kid and he like calculated that his life expectancy was probably 20 years and he was like burning out. And so he's now like pivoted and gone to like a longevity clinic. And he talked a lot in this podcast just about how a lot of physicians struggle with their health. I think, you know, what do you think a lot of that's due to? Like, I've heard that you guys, you know, you don't get a lot of that. Like, you are trained to be really highly like skilled in what you guys do, but there's not a lot of like health and nutrition training, also like the time commitments and burnout. But I guess from your perspective, I guess, like, you know, what do you see and how could a physician who's maybe like feeling that way potentially like work around or build those new routines and behaviors?
Yeah, I think it depends what specialty you're into. Like, I think from a surgeon's perspective, like, it's totally different from my training as a pediatrician. So I think in some ways I'm lucky because being a general pediatrician is all about preventative health. Like, everything we do is prevention, right? We're trying to prevent chronic illnesses into adulthood when you're an infant, when you're a child. And so I do feel like I'm lucky to some degree, because I think we learned a lot more of those skills just inherently by nature of what our specialty is. So I feel lucky in that way because it's helped me become a healthier person. But I think the main driver is just the pressure that we feel as physicians, like, especially in residency when you're new and training, you don't feel like you know what you're doing. And just as a new attending for me right now, like, the pressure to figure out what's going on, to be right, to make the right call on certain things, to give the right advice, like, all of these things. It's a lot of emotional stress, I think. In residency, like, if you don't, the nice thing about residency is you have all of these other residents to connect with, and sort of trauma bond is what everyone calls it, over like how stressful it is and the long hours and just how difficult it is to like have really hard conversations with families when, you know, children are sick or dying. And those things are emotionally exhausting. And I think the pressure of all that is can make it very easy to burn out quick, on top of the other demands that I think we just haven't quite caught up with technology and just like all of the documentation that we're being asked to do. We weren't trained well to figure that out. Like, how do you do all this extra documentation that many of our attendings who are training us didn't have the same level of documentation that we're doing now? And so no one really knew how to explain, like, okay, here's how you balance all of the things while still trying to be a good physician. So I think that just the pressures of like the documentation piece, the legalities, like, that's a whole nother pressure on top of the fact that like a person's or a child's life is in your hands to some degree. That's a lot. And so trying to figure out how to manage all of that from an emotional perspective and from your emotional mental health, I think that's hard. And like, we haven't figured it out yet. And I actually did a qualitative research study with my program director when I was in my chief year in residency on a wellness program that we did in residency. Basically we interviewed the residents and just said, hey, like, how did you feel about this program? Like, what was helpful about it? What wasn't helpful about it? And it's just really interesting because like, there's no one size fits all for a wellness program to try to help residents. Residency is just hard, period. And so there's a lot of people trying to like do qualitative research and research studies to figure that out right now. Like, it's, nobody really knows. And I think it's very individual. I think that's part of the problem. It has to do with you know, where did you come from? What's going on in your personal life right now? What are your future goals? There's so many personal factors that go into it that you can't ever have a program that's one size fits all.
I agree with that. And, you know, I feel like we all handle stress differently, cope with stress differently. One person could sit down and meditate and another person, the thought of meditating like freaks them out. So maybe they go for walks or whatever it is. Just curious regarding like the qualitative study. Actually, let me ask you this first. Like, what has worked well for you when you're like feeling some of that pressure? Like what, I guess, daily like behaviors, habits? I'm sure exercise is a big part of it. I don't know. I'm sure there's like some self-talk that goes in your head when you're in like the heat of the, I don't know if there's things that you do in the heat of the moment or if there's things that you do when you're like at home to kind of prepare to handle that, you know, those types of situations.
I think probably the most important thing is just connection with other people, like having support from my people that I was in residency with. Like we still text each other all the time when we have a rough day or a tough patient or we have questions. We're like, hey, what am I not thinking about? Like there's this patient that I saw, like here's what's going on. Like what am I missing here? Like having those colleagues to connect with on those things and then also just to vent about some of the like stresses that you're going through. I do think that's super important. Like I think just connecting with people and ideally it's face-to-face one-on-one. That's not always possible. Like we're lucky to have technology for that reason, I guess. But I think that's a big piece of it is just like remaining connected to the people around you and like, using your resources and reminding yourself like I am not alone in this. And that was really the theme of that research study. Like that was one of the most helpful things that came out of this wellness program was talking with other co-residents about just life and how difficult life in residency is and that connection piece and just like recognizing I'm not the only one feeling this way. Like there's somebody else out there that's also feeling the same way I'm feeling and it's okay to feel this way. And then a big piece for me is just, so I my faith is a big piece of it and just meditation is a part of my faith and prayer and things like that are probably the thing I turn to most in my like inner spiritual life to try to help manage some of that stress, which I think is a hugely important piece is just having some kind of like spiritual wellness, whatever that looks like for the individual to try to help take care of yourself spiritually too. It's such a big important piece of your health.
Yeah. And I feel like it's having, you know, whether it's spiritual or whatever it is for you, right? Like having like a beneficial outlook on the future. That's not how I was trying to say it, but like an optimistic outlook of like, you know, there's good things to come. Mm-hmm. It's interesting what you said too about the connection component. Cause I feel like so many of us, especially maybe a little bit more like us, like guys or men, right? We kind of like stuff our emotions. And I found even like, you know, going through some things in the last year that I've experienced, like just talking and connecting, especially with other people that have gone through similar things and then learning from them and then kind of taking it like, you know, pivoting and learning what you can is definitely like really, really helpful. Was there anything else in the wellness program that stood out to you as like, and I know there's no one size fits all, or was it mainly just the like connection time?
That was the biggest piece was the space to be vulnerable. So just like having a safe space to be vulnerable with other people and have those conversations. And then the connection with other residents and just that recognition, like it's not just me. I'm not alone in this. Like I have other people that are feeling the same way I can connect with and that can help me get through this because they've gone through the same thing. Which I think, like you just said, is like true of suffering in general. You know, life is always going to come with suffering no matter what. Everyone will experience suffering to some degree. It's going to be of varying degrees. But what's beautiful about that is like your suffering, like you can then hopefully connect with somebody else who has gone through the same thing. And like that's the beauty of connection amidst like the great joys and the great suffering that we experience in our lives.
And not everything's going to be crazy joyful. I mean, most mornings I don't want to wake up and work out, but
correct.
I just force myself to, it's not like there's just, you know, supernatural humans out there that wake up every day and they're like, oh, I just love all this, you know, Spartan warriors. I love all this pain. Like I love running 22 miles and then going for a bike ride, which I haven't done, but immense, immense respect for that. So I know earlier you mentioned balance, right? So you're a physician, you're in the Air Force, which we haven't even really talked about or mentioned yet, right? You're a triathlete, you have family, you have friends, you have to show up in a lot of different places. So I guess, like, how do you keep from feeling like you're being pulled in too many directions?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know that, I think we always feel that way, maybe, and probably everybody in life feels that way to some degree. But I think for me, all of those different things have fallen into place in not a state of balance. I think balance is just not a thing that I will ever attain, which I've just accepted is okay. And that balance it's not ever going to look the same, and every season looks really different too. Like right now, in this season of being a new attending, living in Hawaii, being in the Air Force, it feels like much less stressful than when I was being pulled in a lot more directions as chief resident, for example, where it felt like I was needed in so many different places, that's in so many different ways. And so I think at that time, like it was a lot of it was just having, again, connection, I think, and mentorship was like the biggest piece to try to help organize all of that and figure that out and prioritizing like, okay, what is the most important thing this week or today? And I think it can change day to day, week to week, based on whatever it is that you need to get done. But now I think it's a little bit easier. And I think you learn a lot of those skills when you're overwhelmed in the midst of residency. So I think there's benefits to some, I don't know, to some degree. When you have all of those things going on in residency, you're forced to prioritize what is most important to you in life. And you make mistakes in that and you learn from them. And then you get to a point and as an attending where you get to like focus in a little bit more and you get to kind of breathe a little bit and whatever. I may be a general pediatrician, but it's much more manageable to be able to say, okay, I can really focus on being a general pediatrician instead of switching what role you're in every single week and having all these extra things that you're involved in to try to do whatever you're trying to do in residency. And now being able to just recognize, okay, like my priority right now is learn how to be a good general pediatrician. I can't overload myself in other ways. And the Air Force, you know, forces me to be a leader in different ways that I didn't necessarily want to or like raise my hand to do some of these leadership roles. But that's pushed me in ways that I didn't expect. And it's helped me to become a better pediatrician just because it helps me to become a better leader. And so sometimes you don't ask for all of those different things that are pulling you in places you don't want to go, but it's helped me to learn and grow a lot. And I think ultimately helped me become a better general pediatrician, which this year, that's my priority in my career is just focusing on that.
Yeah. So and sometimes, I mean, getting, but. Yeah, absolutely. No. I feel like, you know, being pulled in a direction can sometimes be a blessing and sometimes it could be a curse. And it's just like,
yes,
you know, prioritize. Do you have any guiding principles that kind of like lets you decide what is a priority? Like, you know, whether it's like health, spiritual, work, family, like those types of things or anything else specific?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like I was saying earlier, I think your priorities are allowed to change depending on what season you're in and just depending on what's going on in your life. And I think that's been helpful for me is recognizing that, like, it's okay to let that ebb and flow a little bit. Like you have your top five things that are the most important, but it doesn't always have to be one. Number one always has to be number one. Sometimes maybe it needs to take a back seat. And I think like typically for me, family or like relationships will probably always take priority. I don't know that there's anything that will ever take priority over the people that are close to me. And even when I'm tired, even when, you know, I don't want to show up for my people, like I think I try to still make that a priority no matter what. And I so far never regretted making relationships a priority, knowing that that's a super important piece of my health is like investing in those relationships. Again, connection, I think it's super important. So and staying connected. But yeah, definitely like sleep, my health, just like my baseline health, knowing that I'm not going to be the best person I can be at work or for the people that I'm trying to show up for if I'm not prioritizing some of those things, which means saying no to things. I definitely say no a lot more. I'm getting better at that.
I tell myself I'm getting better and better every single day because that's a skill. You know, I've got people pleaser by nature. And you have to. You can't do it all. I was listening to another podcast recently and they were talking about how their like five most important things. Like they put them on their calendar and they put them in like different colors, you know, whether it's like family, creative time, health and wellness, work, whatever. You know, everybody that's listening right now, you got to figure out what it is for you. Another thing that I do every single year, and it's a little intense. It takes probably like 3 or 4 hours, but I'll take myself on a date to a coffee shop and I'll literally do like a calendar audit of my last year and say like things to leave behind, things to bring forward, things that were like the best. And it's intense. You go through your photos app, your calendar, and if you're really crazy, like your bank statements. And then you're like, you know, so by every single year that I've done that, I feel like I've been so much more like just like focused on like the things that actually like bring me joy and leaving behind, you know, the things that don't. It's really interesting. But I just feel like you're really proactive and like intentional with most things that you do, which I thought, you know, big reason why I wanted to have you on here. So most physicians don't even really think about like money and financial planning, like in residency. What was different for you? Because you started the conversation with me, I think it was your first year of residency or maybe even like your last year of med school. And I knew we knew each other, but you were already like doing some things that sometimes like new attendings aren't even doing. We don't need to get like too into the weeds of like money and all that. But what do you think was different for you? What made you want to be intentional early on with financial wellness?
Yeah, I'm in like a unique situation just being in the Air Force and not having the same debt that my civilian counterparts had in medical school and in residency. And so that made me feel good, right? Going into residency and like feeling a little bit better about that than others. But I think even with that, like I still felt stressed about money. Like I don't think anyone ever doesn't feel stressed about money. It's just like, I don't know. It's just something that you always, especially when you're busy and it's like the last thing you want to think about, at least for me, when I was in school and in training, is like, I don't know how I'm going to manage this. Like, I don't know what to do moving forward. I don't know how to save. I was stressed about all those things at the time. And, you know, I think just a big piece of it was the history, like my family's history. And my dad, as you know, James passed away when I was really young. I was 5. My sisters were 4 and 2 years old. And he was a physician. And, you know, like some of the things that he put in place for himself and in turn our family financially were super helpful. Like, had he not invested some time into figuring some of that out and making sure that he had all of those things in place, like that would have for our family been detrimental. And so like I'm just super grateful for that. And my mom, you know, that helped my mom a ton, and just being able to have the ability and time and some of the finances to raise us still, because my dad set us up well, even though he like tragically got sick very young. And so I think thinking about that's something I thought a lot about at the time, and just recognizing how important it is to be smart with your money, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And so like not doing it from the place of fear necessarily, but just doing it from a place of like, okay, I don't want to have to stress about this every day. Like I want to feel confident. I want to feel comfortable. And I want to know that like what I'm doing is I can feel good about it myself as I move forward, and not something that I have to stress about every day while I'm also stressing about all the millions of things that you have to stress about in residency and in medical school.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes, you know, the most difficult things in life definitely can teach us the most, even though they suck a lot, you know? So I appreciate you just being open and vulnerable and sharing that. And also too, I mean, what like a legacy that your dad instilled with you, even at such like a young age, that you're now carrying into being such an intentional person. I think that's really, really cool. I'm all about, you know, surrounding ourselves with a capable team, right? Like we have a business coach, I have a trainer that I go to at the gym. We have a tax team we work with. And I know like, you know, obviously you work with us I know you've been intentional about surrounding yourself with like other team members, whether it's like helping you get ready for races and things like that. I guess just how has working with teams, whether it's us or someone else, just kind of like freed up time and mental bandwidth to like go after the things you like? Because I feel like sometimes a lot of us, like, we have a hard time delegating because we think it's too expensive, or we can do it better, or we can figure it out on YouTube and spend 100 hours, you know. So I guess, how has that allowed you to just kind of like free up time and some mental bandwidth? And I guess, what advice would you give to someone who might be struggling to like delegate some things?
Yeah, we haven't even talked about delegation, but that's so important. And especially when you're in any kind of leadership role, and like, you're just automatically put into a leadership role when you're a physician, whether you want to be or not. And so I think delegating in general in life is important, and you have to trust your people, and you have to put some trust in some others to help you get through it. Like, it takes a village. And like, I learned that as a kid too, just growing up with a single parent. Like, it took a lot of people to help get us to soccer practice and like do all of the things. And my mom is definitely a superhero for sure. But like, she could not have done it alone, and she could not have done it if she didn't ask for help. She couldn't have done it well, I don't think, if she didn't ask for help. And like, that's what makes her a superhero, is that she knew when she had to ask for help. I don't know if she would feel the same way, but it feels like that from my perspective. And I think just knowing like this, at least specifically to finances, this is not my strong suit. I don't care to like read The White Coat Investor and like do this, all of this extra work to figure out how to be smart with this. Like, it was too stressful for me. Like, personally, I wanted to be able to focus on the other things that were important to me, and having someone that I could trust help me with my finances so that I didn't have to feel stressed and doing it on my own. Because sure, could you do all this on your own? Yes. Like, I could figure it out. I could read all the books. I could do all the things. I could try to get to a place where I felt comfortable. But I don't know, knowing me, I'd never feel safe or comfortable if I didn't have a team behind me, like helping me through it and cheering me on and just like taking that stress off and that pressure off in one area of my life has made such a big difference in being able to feel like confident and in my plan and in my financial plan for the future. But it took time for me to figure that out, I think. I don't know. Once you figure it out, it's a big stress relief. And once I joined the team with you guys, like, I've been super happy, and I felt so much more confident and like less stressed about money ever since I did that. Just knowing that I have people I can trust who are in my corner, who I can go to, instead of having to try to like figure it out on my own or ever feel stressed about things. Like, I almost never feel stressed anymore about it because I know I have a team in my corner helping me to figure it out.
Thank you for saying all that. That means a lot. And I, you know, I feel like too, like for us, like high achieving type of people, it's hard for us to like let go. I first learned about the principle of like delegation when I was like 22 or 24, and I always like wanted to do it. I couldn't probably afford to do it back then, but I just like never did it. I was like, oh, I'll just figure it. And even to this day, sometimes, you know, it might take longer to write the email to the team to delegate something. But then like every moment that you do that, you know, you're kind of like training everybody else at like, okay, is this my task or is this James's task? You know, so like regardless, I feel like sometimes we just have to step back and say that. And you know, it's no different than like me with medicine. Like, I found a functional medicine direct to primary care. I waited on a wait list for like a year, got into her like 6 months ago. And it's completely changed just like how I feel about like my health.
Yeah.
We tested my gut. We test, you know, and it's just like, I felt like pretty good because I'm like, you know, I take care of myself, but it just completely changed like my relationship and confidence and like how I feel about my health. So, you know, I think it's really, really important. If the best of the best in our society like surround themselves with a capable team, I always say to everybody, like, you know, why not you? Why not us? All right, quick rapid fire questions, because I know, so Rachel's in Hawaii right now. I'm in Michigan. It's probably like 5:54 in the morning. So no better way to start your Thursday and get all fired up for the rest of the day than to record a podcast. Couple like speed round questions and then we'll wrap it up. But this has been awesome. I appreciate you. What's a one non-negotiable habit that keeps you grounded?
My fitness, my health. Yeah, for sure. It's not
a move every day.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's small and it doesn't have to be anything long or crazy, but yeah.
I agree. And I feel like some, you know, sometimes people get caught up in like the stop and the start. Like if I don't get a 60-minute weightlifting session right. in, I'm inadequate. But it's just like in the day you can't just do like 10 minutes, you know, and over the long haul, it all adds up. I was going to say, what's one health ritual that you do every day? But that might be same context. Any other like health ritual that you do every day?
That's probably the biggest one. The other thing that I do every day is have breakfast. I know that sounds silly, but like so many people don't eat breakfast and that's okay. Like everyone's different. But for me, I need breakfast. I'm like, I'm going to be a hangry person. My brain's not going to function appropriately at work if I don't have like a protein rich breakfast of some kind to get things going. So I talk about this with my patients every day, like the 8-year-olds that come in to see me. I'm like, breakfast is the most important meal. And we talk about it a lot. And especially kids who have a diagnosis of ADHD, like it actually is important. And I've noticed a big difference when I've made breakfast a priority, like a protein rich, healthy breakfast. And so that's something that like I don't mess around with anymore. Like I always make sure that I have breakfast before I start my work day.
So no Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm just kidding.
That's a dessert. I mean, cereal for dessert.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I wish I could just eat cereal every morning, but I'd be like 100 pounds heavier. I'd be the chubby child I was that you knew me in fourth grade. I think protein rich is key in that though. That's one thing that I've like really like reprioritized since I met like Chad, the owner of our gym. And like, it's very, very like significant and just like how you feel, you get full faster. Yeah, there's definitely a ton of benefits in that. Anyways, this isn't like I'm not Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. This isn't like a muscle strength training podcast, but really important. What's your favorite way to reset when you feel off or when you're like in a funk? I was recording a podcast with Jeff and Todd, Jeff from founder of the company. And this was like a fun one to answer. So favorite way to reset when you feel off. Todd said he chugs a glass of ice cold water, which I thought was hilarious. Like, hey, what, you know, he's like not quite brain freeze, but almost brain freeze.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Anything that you do like when you're in a funk?
I usually run. I mean, when I'm in a funk, like if I know if I feel bad about something or if I'm just off, like usually going on a run helps me get out of it or walk. Sometimes I'll walk. I usually run, but definitely that gets me out. Yeah.
Just do it. What's maybe a boundary that you used to struggle with that you feel like you've now gotten better at or mastered?
Sleep.
Sleep.
Like, yeah, I don't know if that's a boundary, but like saying no to other things in order to prioritize sleep.
That's good.
Yeah. So
very good.
I guess saying no would be the boundary, but it could be a whole multitude of things. But making sleep more of a priority has made a big difference in my overall health, I think.
I love that. And given the title of the podcast, A Life Well Lived, A Physician's Guide to Wealth, what does a life well lived look like for you in this season of life?
Oh, man. I'm
putting you on the spot.
This season of life has been really fun. Like, I feel so lucky. I'm, you know, joined the Air Force to kind of serve the dependents of the people who are fighting for our country. And that's a sacrifice, but I also got so lucky. Like the opportunities you get when you're in the military I could have never moved out to Hawaii if I was not in the Air Force. So although I'm like thousands and thousands of miles away from family right now, living in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on an island, a little bit secluded in the sunshine every day, has just been a huge gift for my mental health, I think. And like exactly what I didn't know I needed. I would have never done it if I wasn't in the Air Force and kind of forced to move far away and do something totally out of my comfort zone. And, you know, I love the snow. I love skiing. I love the winters. But, man, I didn't know I needed just a mental health break from that and the ability to, like, soak in the sunshine, live on the island time. Like, the people here And just the culture of Hawaii is definitely something that I needed in my life post-residency, post-chief year. And so I think a life well lived right now means focusing on being a good general pediatrician, saying no to some other opportunities for these few years to just focus on that and focus on being outside, being healthy, like developing relationships. Like that is a life well lived for me right now in this season, even though it means being far away from family.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Carlson with the mic drop.
As we wrap up, just a friendly note. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and isn't tailored to your specific situation. IAM Wealth does not offer individual financial advice outside of a formal fiduciary consulting agreement. Content discussed in the A Life Well Lived podcast is not and does not represent any financial, tax, and/or legal advice. The intent of the A Life Well Lived, a Physician's Guide to Wealth podcast, is to provide extremely valuable educational content for free. For personal questions, we hope you'll visit us at iamwealth.com to see how we can help you and your family take control of your money. And just remember, everyone's finances are different. There is no one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter solution to money. If there all was, we'd be rich and happy, just like there isn't one-size-fits-all diet or we'd all have six-pack abs, right? So be sure to work with someone who gets the full picture of your goals and challenges, or visit iamwealth.com to learn more about how we can help you today. And thank you, my friend, for letting me be a part of your journey and story, and I will see you next time.